And you're listening to BBC Radio 3. It's midday and now Donald MacLeod continues to follow the romantic career of Frédéric Chopin in Composer of the Week.
His prospective mother-in-law cancelled sensible hours and stout woollen stockings. He should go to bed by 11 and drink only eau de gomme. Not very romantic. But then Chopin's relationship with Maria Wodzinska was never going to come to anything. She got a rather terrific waltz out of it. She sent him a pair of slippers. The health of this pale, artistic young man was a serious concern to her parents. Once he went back to Paris, the romance soon fizzled out, however cosy the slippers. Chopin, every inch the dandy, could not possibly be seen in anything so ungainly and unfashionable in nightly excursions devoted to double-ended candle-burning. At these candle-burning sessions, he kept bumping into an unusual woman called George. Aurore Dupin was, in fact, happy to be referred to as Madame Sand, the Baronne Dudevant, or plain George. When she walked out on her loveless marriage to the Baron Dudevant and headed for Paris, where she had a tremendous success with the feminist novel Indiana, published under the pseudonym of George Sand, Aurore took to dressing in men's clothes. Chopin seems to have met Sand in the late autumn of 1836. An account of a party at his place sounds like quite a night. The place was crammed with journalists and writers. Liszt was there with his glamorous mistress. So too were the opera singer Adolphe Nourrit, the playwright Eugène Sue, battalions of artistic Polish émigrés, the poet Heinrich Heine, and the only other woman, though not recognisable as such, the cigar-smoking Sand, surrounded by a circle of men. Here's a song by Chopin, a setting of words by his contemporary, the romantic Polish poet Józef Bohdan Zaleski. The singer is smitten by young and tall Sliczny Chłopiec, handsome lad, who's taken her fancy, raven-haired and golden-cheeked. A flicker of his eyelid is enough to set her heart aflutter, and as for when they're on the dance floor...
Thank you.
Eva Podlesch was the singer and Garrick Olsen the pianist in Chopin's song Slichny Chłopiec, Handsome Lad, set in words by his fellow countryman Józef Bohdan Zaleski. All that partying, Chopin's increasing ill health, and perhaps rumours of the company he was keeping led the Wodzinskis to have second thoughts. It wasn't that they were being snobbish about their daughter marrying a mere musician. But what about that woman who dressed as a man, and other questionable people in his circle involved in they knew not what? Even so, the main concern seemed to be the precarious state of Chopin's health. They didn't want their daughter to find herself cast adrift by a husband who would die early. The correspondence between the two grew cooler and less frequent, and in time Maria became only a memory. Chopin was on tour in London when he received a sad letter from Mrs. Wodzinska, which unfortunately hasn't survived and which seems to have put a definitive end to whatever faint hopes Chopin might still have had. The following spring, Chopin and George Sand met again. On the first occasion, he had found her cigar-smoking, mannish posture positively repellent. She had thought him frivolous and snobbish. But things had changed, and now the chemistry was entirely different. Sand saw him in his element, improvising for hours, and promptly fell in love. He now saw through the mask she'd previously worn and felt irresistibly drawn to her. By June of that year, they were lovers. To avoid the gossiping tongues and prying eyes of Paris, they decided to escape on a kind of honeymoon trip to Mallorca. In that sun-drenched paradise, they would be able to write and compose and frolic in complete freedom. Unlike most honeymoon couples, Chopin and Sand were accompanied by her two children. A piano would be sent out for Chopin. That was the dream. The reality was somewhat different. The first couple of weeks were indeed idyllic in glorious weather. But then the weather took a turn for the decidedly nasty, with torrential rain. The walls ran with moisture. Chopin came down with tuberculosis, and soon he was really ill. The inhabitants of Palma were so alarmed they insisted the couple move out of the city. The outcasts managed to find an abandoned monastery at Valdemossa. Yet, despite all the inconveniences, Chopin was still able to compose, and it was there that he finished his astonishing set of 24 piano preludes in all the major and minor keys. We'll hear them played complete by Marta Argerich. It's the fifth, which became known as the Raindrop Prelude, supposedly recalling that execrable weather they endured during their stay. Otherwise, they move through a variety of moods, idyllic, elegiac, tempestuous, lyrical or ballad-like, hymn-like or nocturnes.
Thank you.
Music full of the scent of paradise. So George Sand wrote to a friend in Paris soon after returning from the island of Mallorca, where Chopin had completed the music we just heard, his 24 preludes, played there by Marta Argerich in that recording from 1975. From a physical point of view, the lovers can hardly have had the most romantically satisfying time of it on Mallorca, since Chopin had so soon become ill. On the voyage back to Barcelona, Chopin was coughing up blood by the bowlful, according to Sand. Despite his frailty, she remained fascinated by the man who, she told a friend, does not really know himself which planet he is on. He has no idea of life as we think of it and as we feel it. Over the next few years, she and Chopin would divide their time between Paris and Sand's manor house at Nohant, about 150 miles south of Paris in the Berry countryside. In this bucolic oasis, the little one, as Sand was wont to call him, he was also the boy, Chopinet, little Chopino, little Chip-Chip, produced much of his greatest work. It was a real blessing during this very creative period for Chopin, since he found it impossible to concentrate on composition among all the dizzy distractions of the capital. Little Chip-Chip was finally persuaded by friends to give a recital in Paris in April 1841, though he tried to back out of it. Liszt was there among the packed, expectant audience at the Salle Pleyel. They were right to be so avid, so attentive, so religiously moved, for the one they awaited, the one they were going to see, hear, admire, applaud, was not just an able virtuoso, a pianist expert in the art of making notes. He was not merely an artist of great renown. He was all that and much more than that. He was Chopin. Chopin was now writing at the height of his powers. In that recital at the Salle Pleyel, he performed a number of his mazurkas. For the pianist and scholar Charles Rosen, the mazurkas represent Chopin's supreme achievement in small form. Perhaps nowhere else do we feel so powerfully his combination of fastidious craftsmanship and passionate intensity. The pianist here is Vladimir Ashkenazy. Chopin's three mazurkas, Opus 50, were played there by Vladimir Ashkenazy. Chopin's relationship with George Sand was unravelling. His health was deteriorating too, and by the late autumn of 1843, Chopin was being led around on a donkey while she strolled along next to him. She came to take on a role closer to his carer, his mother even, rather than his lover. She was by now routinely addressing Chopin as the poor child, and even latterly, my son. In the end, it was a quarrel over Sand's actual daughter which tolled the death knell of their bizarre relationship. Sand's daughter, Solange, had fallen in love with a sculptor, Auguste Clésinger. Sand was rather taken with this exuberant young man to begin with. Then she did some digging. The reports were universally bad. Clésinger was an unstable drunkard who beat his mistresses. The couple got married anyway. There were very, very ugly scenes when Clésinger discovered his wife wasn't as well off as he'd supposed, and in the end, Sand banished them both. When Chopin took her daughter's side, given all she'd done for him, Sand felt entitled to write him a stark letter. Adieu, my friend. May you soon recover from all your ills. I hope you will now, and I shall thank God for this queer end to 9 years of exclusive friendship. There is no point in ever discussing the other matters. It was in this atmosphere, a fusillade of rancour, that Chopin's last productive period, in which he created many of his greatest works, came to an end. Robert Schumann described Chopin as a composer of waltzes for souls much more than waltzes for bodies. There could be no better example than this.
Thank you. Chopin's Waltz in C-sharp minor, Opus 64, number 2, played beautifully there by Chatya Bunyachashvili, bringing to a close Composer of the Week with Donald MacLeod. Tomorrow, Chopin has a new admirer.